Welcome to Dads with Daughters. In this show, we spotlight dads, resources, and more to help you be the best dad you can be.
Welcome back to the Dads with Daughters podcast, where we bring you guests to be active participants in your daughters' lives, raising them to be strong, independent women. Really excited to have you back again this week. As always, every week, I love being able to sit down with you, to talk to you, to be on this journey alongside of you, because as I've told you many times, I've got two daughters myself, and I feel like I'm learning something every day, and I know that you have the same type of path that you're on, and we're at different phases in our daughters' lives, but that doesn't mean we can't learn from each other, and we can't support each other along the way. That's why every week I love being able to sit down with you, to be able to talk about issues that are sometimes ones that are not that easy to handle or not that easy to talk about, but sometimes they're lighter issues or things that we all just deal with in everyday life, but we kind of struggle through it. And I think it's important to talk about these things, to be able to have honest conversations about them so that we can normalize it and allow for all of us to know that it's okay. It's okay to talk about these things, to be able to engage with other dads about these things. And that's why every week I love being able to bring you different guests, different people with different experiences that have gone through either being a father to a daughter or have other resources or things that they are doing to support dads, because we have to be able to ask for the help that we need when we need it. And that's why it's so important that we have these conversations every week. This week, we got another great guest with us. Tim Cox is with us. Tim is a father of two, and we are going to be talking about being a dad to a daughter and what that's been like for him. I'm really excited to have him on. Tim, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on this.
Now, I will be honest and say that Tim has been a part of the Fathering Together family for many years. He was one of the initial people that was part of our leadership team and helping us with our Facebook communities, helping us with our videos, and helping us to really amp up the way in which we were telling our story. So I am excited that I'm finally getting him on the show. And first and foremost, Tim, one of the things that I love doing is turning the clock back in time. And I want to go all the way back to that first moment when you found out that you were going to be a father to a daughter. What was going through your head?
I think I was scared. My daughter is 8 years old now. I just turned 44 2 days ago. So I was, you know, we waited a little later in life. I was 36, I guess. And I was nervous. My wife and I had decided that we weren't going to have children, and we were kind of enjoying our younger days with that. And then we sort of, you know, we had our nieces, and then they started to grow up. And then we were like, okay, you know, maybe we do want kids. And so we decided to have a child, and it was definitely nerve-wracking. I was trying to read every book I could find. I was trying to find everything possible, every resource, talking to people. It was a wild time.
It definitely can be a wild time, especially as you said, you know, there's no one right way to father. And there's lots of books out there. There's lots of resources out there that you can turn to, and other dads that you can turn to as well. Now, you talked about having some fear at the beginning of having your daughter. What would you say has been or is your biggest fear in raising your daughter?
Well, I'll go with my first fear first. After she was born and we were getting ready to leave the hospital, and I carried the car seat upstairs, and I was like, how do I put this tiny thing in this car seat and secure it safely? And the hospitals were like, well, we can't really help you with this, because they want to make sure that they're backed up in case there was some kind of accident or anything. So they play it safe. And I remember we did all the parenting classes and everything like that. And that was the first thing that I was like, we didn't talk car seats in the parenting class. This fluffy little kid with the big outfit and stuff on, like, how do we tighten and, you know, the car seat enough? And is this hurting the child and all this stuff? And, you know, at that point, I didn't realize that, like, you don't want anything puffy. Like, you know, my kids still don't use jackets in car seats. And so it was all those kind of things. That was like the first fear of being a dad, or the first like moment of confusion. And I remember I was quickly YouTubing videos to try and see what to do with this car seat. And then, but when I look at like big picture, I want to make sure that my daughter, and I have a almost four-year-old son also, and I want to make sure that they grow up to be good people. And I want to make sure that they grow up caring about other people. And that's my biggest fear, is what if I'm not doing enough to give them the tools they need to do that? And I believe I am doing enough for that. But that's probably my biggest fear in life, is just, what should I be doing better for my kids to make sure that they have everything they need to succeed?
So I think one of the things that many dads struggle with is, like you said, you want to raise kids that are kind, that give back, that are doing things to allow for them to be a part of society in many different ways. Talk to me about what you are doing or have done to be able to do just that.
I think we try and read a lot of books that show strong female figures in the books. And we try and have our kids give them experiences that give them the ability to learn about the future and learn what it is to help people. And, you know, so I think those are like the kind of things that we do the most, but still that leaves you that, am I doing enough? What could I do more?
And that's never an easy thing to know, is the impact that what you're doing now and what that impact is going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But the little things that you do step by step, where you may not see an impact right away, you're setting the seed and you're letting it grow. And I think that that's what's so important for fathers to do, is to be consistent and to continue to do the things that you're hoping that they will do in the future. By doing that, as I said, it's planting that seed and it's allowing that to take root. And then, as you said, reading books or other things, great concepts, great ideas. Now, you now have two kids. You have a son and a daughter. And with each of your kids, you have to be able to do what you can to build those unique relationships, because each child is very different. Not only do they have different ages and different stages that they're at, but that need different types of fathering in many different ways. What are you doing to be able to build that strong relationship with your daughter?
I try and do things with her. And I think that's really important to do. There's a lot of times jealousy comes in, especially she's 8, he's 3. She had a long time with just mom and dad until he came around. We decided we only wanted one child for the longest time. And then we were like, well, maybe we'll have a second one. And that's how, you know, there ended up being a spread out, which I think is the greatest thing, is having that spread, because she can be, you know, help teach him also. So the things I'm teaching her, she's then teaching him. But, you know, we really want to try and make her feel special. So I'll take her somewhere to something that I won't take him. I'll do it during nap to make it easy. My partner does the same. She'll take our daughter to something. I think she's taking her roller skating tonight, and I'll stay home with Jude, my son. And, you know, so I think the big thing is trying to separate time and build out time for them to have you as just you, so they're not this forgotten child, or they don't become jointed with their sibling at all times, so that they still feel special to you.
And are there specific things that you and your daughter love to do together that are special just for the two of you?
Yeah, we do. We both play a lot of silly games, even just the game Marco Polo, typically done in a pool. We play in our driveway. She always cheats, but it's okay. Suddenly, you know, she'll like, well, yell freeze. And then you have to like walk towards the person with your eyes closed. And somehow she always finds me and she just says I'm bad at it. But we do stuff like that. You know, she loves playing. One of her favorite shows is the show Bluey, which is one of my favorite shows too. And I think every parent of a young child that's watched that show loves that show because it's so real. And we play games from that show that we learn, like Shadowlands, where you can only step on shadows. And we go for walks around the block. She really likes music and we've played guitar together. She's not quite there of knowing what she's playing, but she likes to make it up, and she likes to make up lyrics to songs. And me being a musician, and I've played and toured in bands my whole life up until the pandemic, basically was when I kind of took a break from music, you know, it's fun to see that creativity from her, where we have just like a little kid drum set and she will sit at it and start playing. And sometimes I'm like, that is a perfect drum beat. So we have these kind of like little things that we can share that Jude, my son, isn't quite at the age to be able to. I mean, he bangs on the drums and he actually does decently on drums too, but he's obviously a 3-year-old little tornado running around. So, you know, my daughter and I, we love to kind of do all these things together. That's just kind of us.
It is important, especially when you have kids that are vastly different in ages and there is that gap. As you said, your daughter had you in her life first. So being able to make sure that there's not animosity there. And we had the same, we didn't have as large of a gap, but between our oldest and our youngest, there always was a little bit of separation, a little bit of animosity that was there that our oldest ended up losing that one-on-one time in her mind in some aspect, even though we still did many things together just between her and us, but it does make a difference and you have to work hard in that regard. And being a dad is never easy. What would you say has been the hardest part for you in being a father to a daughter?
I think the hardest part is probably trying to balance work and life and time with her. Work obviously takes up a lot of time. Days I feel like, you know, from morning when I make her breakfast to when I like kiss her goodnight at 9, it's the entire day is done and we're kind of running around and there's all sorts of activities. So I think it's finding ways to chisel out time to spend is important. And I'm not the best at work-life balance where I do social media for university and I am sitting there and I will post things at night, like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm don't always have the best ability to just like turn off and be with the family at all times. But I really try hard to do that. And I think a lot of dads have that same issue. And I think we're all kind of in the same boat. And a lot of times we'll, you know, act like we're always able, always there, you know, because everyone puts the best image forward on social media. But we're all in kind of the same thing, saying like, okay, did I do something with my daughter today? Did I give her a special moment that she will remember? And I think the biggest thing I try and do is just make sure that that exists. For example, she gave me a book for my birthday. We celebrated it last night because Girl Scouts was the night before. So I waited a day for my birthday and she gave me a book of the top 10 reasons I have the best dad. And the book is adorable and it shows all sorts of things like, I love you because you help me when I get hurt. And she drew a little picture of me putting a Band-Aid on her. She loves when I play with her. And the picture was me as a horse on the ground with her jumping on top of me and riding me around. And these are the kind of things that I do. And a lot of times I'm very tired, but I'm like, there's going to be a day that she doesn't want to play. And one of the saddest things to think about, and I carry her around all the time, and she's 8 and I'm 65 pounds and I'm carrying her everywhere I go when I can, or I put her on my shoulders or any of those kind of things. Because as dads, we have to realize there is going to be a day that you put your child down, you put your daughter down, and you never pick her up again. And it's heartbreaking to think of that. And I can't even imagine that day coming, but it's getting closer and closer that she still wants me to comfort her. She's daddy's little girl. And it drives my partner crazy sometimes because she's always like, daddy, 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 daddy. But I'm loving it. And I'm trying to just remember that I need to make time for this because I don't know when that time is over.
And it will be over before you know it, or at least I'm not going to say completely over. You're not going to be able to carry your child eventually because, you know, they do get larger and it becomes a lot harder to do that physically. But that being said, you'll always be her dad and you'll always have that connection. So doing what you can now to build those strong relationships and to connect with her now and show her that you are always there for her will still continue even after they leave the house. I mean, I've got my oldest is at college, but we still stay connected, but it's in a little bit different way. And as they do get older, you have to take cues from them. I'm not always the best about that, but it is something that you have to be willing to do. So my oldest has gone to college and she is about 11 and a half hours away from our house. And we had to set up parameters of how our relationship would continue and listen and try to follow her lead. And I'm sure that as she gets older, that's going to have to continue, because when she gets out of college and moves to the next step, more and more, they're going to not need everything that we have offered them as a young person, but they will still need us in some ways and will come back to us because of that or some reasons. So I say those things just to say, for all of us as fathers, there's going to be these times, these ebbs, these flows, these things that are going to be these seasons that we go through, that our kids go through. And some of those seasons you will need to be more involved. In other times, you won't have to be as involved and you'll have to take a step back. And that's not easy. And you just have to know that it's not going to be easy. And I can tell you that 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, and you may still find that you're still not prepared. And that's okay, but it's just something to be aware of.
And I think that's really important too, you know, because you know when they do need you, what you're able to do. For example, this morning, I put her on the bus and drove to work. And when I got to work, which is like a 25-minute drive or so, I got a call from the school and she was crying on the phone that today was stuffy day. And she forgot to bring her stuffy to school. And it's in third grade, it's the year that the teachers stop communicating with the parents as much, and they try and teach the kids to do it. So we didn't realize that it was stuffy day. And I had to kind of make a decision where I was literally pulling into my office and I'm like, do I continue on or do I turn around, drive 25 minutes back, pick up Sniffers and bring Sniffers to the school, and then come back to work? And that was like the kind of thing where I was like, you know what? I was like, this is important to her. She's clearly upset about it. And I'm going to bring that to her. And it's kind of the thing is where she gets bad anxiety about things. She gets all these kind of things where she's afraid of getting sick. So she'll just tell us she's sick and try not to go to school. And we ended up putting her in therapy for these kind of things, because it's important to catch something early and have her start working out the feelings now while she's younger. Because while not having a stuffy at school is not fun, she's probably not the only kid that forgot it, but to then, you know, get really upset and to where, like, I knew she wasn't going to be able to feel good through school without having the stuffy. That's where I had to decide, okay, I need to go and do this for her because we're working on this and with her anxiety. And that's something that's going to be important.
You know, that just kind of shows, I mean, there is a point in time where you do have to decide, like you said, about there's things like this where you have to make a decision. Is this a learning moment, or do you actually come back in and we'll say save the day to bail your child out of something that they probably should have told you up front and told you about? But there's going to be those times where, is third grade the time to do that? Or is it more sixth grade? Well, you know what? You need to learn about this and you need to be able to. So those are things internally that you have to struggle with and figure out as you go along. And there is that learning that happens as your kids get older, and you're going to learn so many things. And I think that that's important. I think it's so important that you're willing to open yourself up to learning and being willing to know that you don't know everything and be willing to reach out or find resources. As you think about the experiences that you've had as a father, how has that resonated with you, that you've had to take that step to be willing to learn?
It was tough and easy at the beginning. Easy because I knew I had to learn, but tough because I've always kind of felt proud that I was able to do things on my own or figure things out on my own. And every day is just, I'm learning something new every day, and especially with having two children who are very different people. My daughter gets anxiety and she's gets nervous about things, and she's very lovey and gets hurt constantly, whether it's really hurt or not hurt or just wants an ice pack. That happens, where my son is completely wild and is not one that gets hurt and is just runs around the house like a tornado. And you have to learn how to navigate this journey with two very different children. And what I do for her may not be the same thing that I would do for him. And it's not necessarily a learning point for either of the kids, but just knowing how they will handle it. Like, he had stuffy day today at school too. He has a stuffy at school. He's in preschool. He has a stuffy there for nap. And I don't know if kids were bringing other ones or not, but I was like, you know what? Let's just not send him with one, because then it's one less that needs to be washed and we think he'll be fine with it. So I think the biggest thing is just knowing that you don't know everything and that it's okay to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. And there's times I wish I could go back and change what I said or what I did. And I let frustrations get out sometimes. And that this past year, I've tried to take a better look at my own mental health. And I finally talked about depression to my doctors. I got on some medication. And all these kind of things are taking care of myself to know that I can make myself become a better father. And when I mess up, that, you know, it's not the end of the world, that I just need to own up to it. And that's also being honest with my kids, where sometimes I'll say like, hey, I wish I didn't say that. Or, hey, I wish I was able to do this with you. And just being honest with them is extremely important to my own growth.
Well, talking about mental health, and I know that you said that you kind of have focused a bit more on your mental health. Why did you decide that this was the right time to do that? And what did you hope to do with the journey that you started?
I think it was one of those things where, I mean, it certainly got worse over the pandemic. I don't remember. And also that is, we had our son right at the beginning of the pandemic, to where that was a whole different thing. You know, I was almost not going to be allowed to go to the hospital, which I wrote a chapter in the first Fathering Together book about that issue. But one of those things, it kind of like creeped up on me more. And then I decided, like, you know, I started feeling like I wasn't myself at all times. And sometimes I would be just sitting there washing the dishes at night and I'd start feeling like I'm a failure. Like, I can't even explain the things I was feeling. And then finally, like, I was going to the doctor and I, you know, had my regular physical and I was just like, this is kind of going on. I don't feel suicidal or anything like that, but I do feel depressed and down, and to the point where I didn't feel like I would do anything to myself, but I didn't necessarily care if something happened to me. And other than you were like, you want to make sure you're there for your kids, but there came a point where I was like, there's stuff going on that I'm just kind of moving through life and it's just stressful. And it was a huge change by having that talk with the doctor, being honest with myself that this was something that I should bring up, and now still working on it and still have those days where you just feel exhausted or worn out. The kids are fighting and you are just like, oh, I can't even do anything with this anymore. I just need to like go lay down or something. But it's happening far less because I feel like I've finally taken a step in the right direction.
Now, taking that step in the right direction, you also are showing your kids something about taking care of yourself. What kind of conversations have you had, especially with your daughter, about some of the things that you, I know that you said that she has struggled with, and how what you're doing and it may impact her in many ways in the future?
I don't think she knows about depression or anything like that yet. She has anxiety, but we have tried to show her that, like, it's totally normal. A lot of kids have it. A lot of kids go to therapists for this, and it's okay to have big feelings, basically, and not understand how to fully grasp what you're feeling and talk about what you're feeling. And so I think we just, this year, all of this started this year of us making this decision to have her start going to therapy every week. And it was just one of those things where we know that if we have the opportunity to look at this at this young age and be able to do something about it instead of waiting until it's older. And part of the thing with that may have been that I was understanding that, like, what I was going through, my partner understands what she's going through, and those kind of things that were like, you know what, like, let's find a way to help our daughter learn to deal with these feelings before that becomes something.
I think that's so important. And it's important to be willing to put yourself out there and be willing to understand when you need help. And I don't know that every man is willing to admit that. And instead, they internally kind of say, I can handle it myself. I don't think that I need help. I can man up and push through it. And that sometimes comes with fatherhood too, that there's a lot of dads that kind of are like, I don't need help. I can figure this out. I don't need to ask for help. I've always said that you've got a community of people that have been fathers that are all around you. And there's no reason why you can't go to your neighbor, to a friend, and be very open and honest with them and say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. And have you ever dealt with this? Or if you did, how did you deal with this? Because I'm having a lot of problems, but that's not easy. And it's definitely not something that is innately put into the personalities of most men, that you're willing to be vulnerable in that way. So I commend you for taking that step for yourself, for your family, and being willing to put yourself first in some ways, to be able to also put your family first, because you knew that you had to focus on yourself to be able to be the dad that you wanted to be and the husband that you wanted to be. Now, we always finish our interviews with what I like to call our Fatherhood Five, where we ask you five more questions to delve deeper into you as a dad. Are you ready?
I am ready.
In one word, what is fatherhood?
I'm going to follow what we've been talking about, and I'm going to say learning.
When was the time that you finally felt like you succeeded at being a father to a daughter?
I think that there's different times where you feel that way, but just hearing some of the sweet things that she does, where if she sees a kid not playing with anybody, she's the one to go up to that kid and say, hey, do you want to play with us? And like, you know, that's where I remember there was something like that. And my wife and I, like, we looked at each other and we were like, yes, we did this. Like, we succeeded here, because she cared more about someone else who wasn't involved in something. And I think, I want to say she was in kindergarten or first grade when that happened. And it felt really good to know that she is a caring person and we're teaching her the right way.
If I were to talk to your kids, how would they describe you as a dad?
I believe they would probably talk about me being funny. That was one of the pages in her book that she wrote about me, because I try and, you know, make them laugh. I'm goofy. I try and be as fun of a dad as I possibly can.
Who inspires you to be a better dad?
I think that's my father. He has done so much for me. He's my stepfather, but he's my father in my mind. He's been in my life since I could talk, they've been married since I was 5. And he's such a great dad, and he's such a great papa to the kids, that an inspiration for me to try and strive to be like that. And also, while being my own person at the same time. For example, the other day, my daughter, she has spray paint chalk, and she asked if she could spray paint a couple like rows of bricks on our house by the garage. And knowing it's chalk, knowing it's going to come off, I was like, I don't know if my dad would have let me do this, but what does it matter? Yeah, go for it. And we now have some pink bricks on firehouse by the garage. And it's not to say like he let me do a lot of fun things, but those are the kind of things where I'm just like, you know what, it's not going to hurt anything, and I'm just going to do it. So I try and also take what I've learned from him and then add my own goofy touch to it, which he's also a very funny person too, which is probably where I get it from. But I think that's kind of where I get my inspiration.
Now, you've given a lot of piece of advice, things that you've learned along the way with your own kids. As we finish up today, what's one piece of advice you'd want to give to every dad?
I think the biggest advice is we're all human. We all make mistakes. No one's perfect. A lot of times on social media, people put out the most perfect version of themselves. And you have to realize that we're all in this together. And that's kind of where I think being involved with Fathering Together and all the dads that I became friends with from the Dads with Daughters groups and everything, I've really learned, hey, we're all doing this together. We're all learning. And you have to always be open to becoming a better version of yourself, even when you think you're the perfect version of yourself.
Well, Tim, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here today, for sharing your own journey and for being vulnerable with us and sharing some of the highs, the lows, and everything in between of the things that you've experienced with your daughter. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. It's very exciting to be on this, and I really appreciate you asking.
The Fatherhood Insider is the essential resource for any dad that wants to be the best dad that he can be. We know that no child comes with an instruction manual, and most dads are figuring it out as they go along. And the Fatherhood Insider is full of resources and information that will up your game on fatherhood. Through our extensive course library, interactive forum, step-by-step roadmaps, and more, you will engage and learn with experts, but more importantly, dads like you. So check it out at fatheringtogether.org. If you are a father of a daughter and have not yet joined the Dads with Daughters Facebook community, there's a link in the notes today. Dads with Daughters is a program of Fathering Together. We look forward to having you back for another great guest next week, all geared to helping you raise strong, empowered daughters and be the best dad that you can be.
We're all in the same boat, and it's full of tiny screaming passengers. We spend the time, we give the lessons, we make the meals, we buy them presents. Bring your A game, 'cause those kids are growing fast. The time goes by just like a dynamite blast. Calling astronauts and firemen, carpenters and muscle men, get out and be the world to them. Be the best dad you can be. Be the best dad you can be.